Missouri Live, plotting perspectives in church life with Todd Bryant
and Jeff Short.
And a guest with us today,
Mark Campbell.
Mark Campbell from Salyersville, Kentucky.
Hey, you said it right.
Well, I've had a little bit of practice. How's it going in Big Blue Country?
Well, since you mentioned Big Blue Country, fairly decent right now.
Yeah, I noticed that team has gotten a little bit better as the season has gone on, and everybody's off Calipari's back until he starts five freshmen again next year.
Well, they're not really off his back, you know, because they lost a game earlier in the season, so that's a little bit of an issue.
Yeah, we've got a football team and a fan base down here that have similar outlook to coaching and wins, and we get it.
Yeah, but other than that, things are great in the mountains of eastern Kentucky.
Yeah, Jeff's from West Virginia, so he's never really known anything but having a losing team. He doesn't know.
I usually just have to stay out of the college sports conversations.
All right, look, we obviously have a passion for reading. I don't think that anybody who has listened to Just Jerry over the past several years, and somebody told me the other day that we had more than three listeners. I was glad to hear that, but I haven't seen any concrete proof. But those that listen do know that we have this passion for reading, and we wanted to talk to Mark a little bit today about that.
Okay. I don't know when I'm supposed to talk, so you just have to tell me.
That's all right. That's okay. Jeff doesn't know either. I have to constantly text him behind the scenes and say, it's your turn now. So, you know, Mark, just sort of give us a rundown on your history of reading. I know that, you know, historically you have not been much of a reader outside of studying for your sermons. I know you've always been very studious in that, but why did you not read a whole lot years ago?
Well, a couple of different reasons. Number one, because I didn't think I liked it. Most of the reading and studying that I did for sermons was because I had to. It was, you know, that's a hazard of the job, so to speak. And so I did that reading because of, you know, because I needed to be able to deliver a message. But other than that, I just didn't really think that I enjoyed reading. So I just didn't read.
It's funny you say that. I've got one young girl at church who is a homeschooler, and she goes to a reading program, and they make her read these certain books. And she showed me a list of them recently, and she was just telling me how much she'd learned to hate reading. I can somewhat understand why, because some of these books they're assigning to her, I've read, and I didn't enjoy them very much myself.
Well, I can tell you this, that I've been reading some of the books that from the local school, and one of them is titled Angela's Ashes that I just did not like at all. And I talked to my daughter about it, and she had to read that over the summer as a pre-AP English class when she was in high school. And I was like, you had to read that book during the summer? And the teacher of that said they would have like 500 points already in the grade book before school even started. And how she read that book, I don't even know.
Now, Jeff, you read all those books that me and Mark read in school, and they never affected your reading at all, correct?
Well, I'm not going to say I liked them. I mean, school reading lists typically tend to be the worst books. In fact, I almost wonder if there's a under the table deal, because I don't think anybody would ever buy those books and read them if you weren't forced to do so for school.
Amen to that. I completely agree. Hey, so Mark,
Todd, let me add something.
Go ahead.
There. I just, those books that I'm reading, like Angela's Ashes, I didn't read them in high school. I did not read in high school. I couldn't tell you that I read one book in high school. If it didn't have a cliff note, I didn't read it. And so I don't know whether I actually completed one book in school or not.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Jeff just lost a lot of respect for you right there, because he is an avid reader constantly. I know how he thinks.
Well, I read now.
Well, no, it's kind of it's just kind of fascinating. You know, it's kind of like getting a glimpse as to how the other side of the world or tracks or whatever lives. I just can't really relate to that.
So, Mark, Jeff and I have talked a good bit about Goodreads. We just sort of document everything that we read on there. I noticed you're on there too, and I see you doing reviews and logging books that you've read. So how many books did you read last year?
I went back and checked just before we started this little podcast, and I read 32 last year.
Is wow. that more than you used to read in years past?
I might have not read 32 books in my life before last year.
That is amazing. I mean, that is quite amazing. So what changed you? I mean, what changed to make you go really from a non-reader other than, you know, preparing for sermons? I don't want anybody to think that that's what we mean. Obviously, you read in preparation for your sermons, commentaries and such. But we're talking about other books. And so how did you go from a non-reader to a reader?
Let me just to back up to the other question. I counted how many books I read in 2018, and that was 9. So I read 9 in 2018, 32 in 2019. The way I went from a non-reader to a reader was, first of all, understanding there's a need for it. And then second of all, we had the little preacher's conference, and Lewis Kiger gave a little insight into reading a book, and he mentioned just reading 10 pages a day in a book and really reading from 3 different books. And he said, you know, if you do that 10 pages a day, at the end of a month, you've read 300 pages. And if you've done that in 3 books, you know, you've read 900 pages. And so it really broke it down into some, you know, a more manageable piece that I could feel like that I could do.
You know,
well, let's just, okay, so hold on just a second. Did you want to read books, but you just thought there's just no way, you know, that, in other words, it seemed like an insurmountable task to read this 300-page book, or did you just not really want to read?
Well, it was probably a little bit of both. I mean, you know, I'm an avid sports fan, so I would watch, you know, every sport on TV. But yeah, it was the task of like that book. I can't sit and read through that book. So it was really a little bit of both. But really, reading through a large book was something I just didn't think I could do.
Okay.
And I think he quoted Lewis Kiger in his sermon Sunday too. If I'm not mistaken, that's really bringing Lewis Kiger right on into the forefront of this whole thing. And
just a question: who is Lewis Kiger?
I hear you. I'm sure he'll shoot you a text just as soon as he hears you say that. So, okay, Mark, if you're reading more, you read, you know, 9 books in 2018, which is really when your journey to begin reading started, and you had a full year in 2019. You weren't reading much before that. You used to study for your sermons. You're still doing that. But what are you reading now in addition to sermon prep?
Right now at this present, or just in general?
Oh, looking back at the 32 books that you read last year, what type of genres were they from? Were they all, you know, theological books? Were they all commentaries? Were there some fiction?
Oh, no. The thing that I found out that I love the most are biographies. I've picked up and read a few. I've started out reading a few biographies on like William Tyndale, and I found out that I loved that. And then I've picked up and read a few biographies on like JFK and some other people that I've read their biographies. And then because I wanted to read more, I've also asked the librarian at the local high school to, you know, suggest some books. And so she brought off some of the classics like Fahrenheit 451, Catcher in the Rye. Let's see what else. And I've read some other fictional books. I went down to the local library, tried to get into the book club there, and they read a book called The Sisters of Glass Fairy that I read. So, you know, I've read biographies, I've read fiction. Of course, I read a lot of theology books, but, you know, just about every genre.
You have really began reading a wide variety of books, from basically only Bible study a few years ago to now you're reading fiction books, you're reading classical fiction, newer fiction, you're reading biographies that you've learned to really enjoy. That's a huge change.
Yeah, it is. And I really, I've had to calm down on my reading a little bit because I find myself, like when I was reading that Sisters of Glass Fairy, I found myself, I want to read it all the way through. You get so involved in the story that I can't put it down. And so, I've had to watch that a little bit because I can be up all night long reading a book and I'm like, I can't do that.
You know, Jeff was asked, not too long back how he read a book. Jeff, can you remind me how that little conversation went about the guy that asked you how you read a book?
I have been asked that before, which I don't really know any other way than you start at page one and you read to the end. I mean, that's just the way I do it.
And so that just made me think of that when Mark said that he
but of course, just everyone can know, Mark's a friend of ours. He's a great guy. He's a good pastor. But I don't know that you realize how incredible that this is, what you're describing. I mean, to go from a non-reader, someone not wanting to read, even to reading 9 books in a year is pretty major. Then to go to 32 books, to go to, book clubs and library and getting, suggestions for reading and having to essentially discipline yourself to, not read at certain times. I mean, it's been a long time since I've seen any statistics, but I know probably 20 years ago, the average adult in America, I think, was maybe reading about 1 book per year. That it's just really, that kind of a turnaround is really incredible.
Well, I kind of need to back up a little bit. One of the things that I really started kind of liking to read was on vacation. We'd go on vacation. We like to take a beach vacation and I would like, I'm going to read 1 book that just to be reading a book, not, no theological or anything like that. So I'd be reading some fiction, mostly a spy novel or something like that, And so that's where I began to acquire this enjoyment of reading. And then also being a substitute teacher, I'd get stuck in a classroom and what can I do during that time? Well, I can read a book. And so, slowly but surely that kind of built. And then when, it was mentioned how to read the 10 pages a day, that really just kind of kicked it off for me.
I tell you what, I bet you are anxious to get off here and check all those emails that you're getting.
I am sorry. For some reason, we kicked something up on Dropbox and it's downloading a bunch of things from Dropbox and I don't know how to stop it. So
maybe it's downloading all the Just Jerry broadcasts so that you can go back.
I've already listened to every one you guys have produced.
Well, that's probably been the biggest life changer for you of probably anything you've ever done.
I love podcasts. I really do.
Well, we do too. We just never figured that we would get the fame and fortune that we've gotten from Just Jerry. So this year, Mark, do you have a goal of the number of books that you want to read this year?
I don't really. I will tell you this, last year also, to go along with the number of books I read, Mark Dever from Capitol Hill put out a kind of a book reading list, which contained 9 books. And so in that 32 books was those 9 books, 1 a month that I read. And he came out again this year with a reading plan that some of the books are duplicates from last year, but I purchased all of those books and I'm going to read through that series. Also, there's some things that some books that I'm wanting to provide for church members. So it's a little church basic series that 9 Marks produces. And so I'm reading through all of those right now. So I want to make sure I get through all of those, but really I don't have a plan other than to make sure I get those done. As a matter of fact, if someone has a reading plan, they'd like to shoot me, that would be okay. Because one of the problems I have when it comes to reading is what to read. I'm very task oriented. And if I got a goal, I can generally meet that goal. But if I don't have a goal, I'm not as active. So it would be good to be like a part of a book club to say, hey, we need to read this month or whatever. So,
Jeff never set the goal, and I set a goal every year. So there's not a wrong way to do it. Jeff reads more than I do, probably. I usually set a goal on Goodreads of 50 books just to sort of make sure I get that. I usually go over it. But I think goals can really be helpful for people who have not been readers historically, just to get them pushed.
Yeah, like I said, the local librarian at the high school has been feeding me books. And I haven't been back there in a while, so I just turned the one book back in. So if they hand me one, I'll probably read it pretty quickly. But really, as far as the goal is, I don't really have one.
You read at the same time?
I don't. My schedule is so odd that I never know from day to day what my schedule is going to be. But and as a matter of fact, sometimes I may not read every day. Sometimes it may, be a few days in between readings, but still yet, I don't read the same time every day.
I'll get in your marriage a little bit. Kimberly ever tell you to put that book down and pay her attention?
No, because if I sit, she says as long as I tickle her foot, no.
look, this podcast is about reading. This is not marriage enrichment right here at all.
But most of the time, some of the times when I'm reading, I'll sit with her and I'll be reading while maybe the TV's on or whatever. We'd be watching Chopped or something on the Food Network.
I was just sort of saying that in jest, but I will say there's a lot of nights where, Wendy might turn something on. She loves noise. Wendy loves noise in the house. She's just, some people do, some people don't. And I'll usually stick in my ear pods and start some kind of reading music or something. Let me ask you this, Mark. So do you feel like reading all these wide variety of books from fiction to biographies and different things that you've read, do you think they have changed your approach to, number one, sermon prep? Have they changed your ability to relate to your audience? And number two, has it made it easier to read those theological books if you've got a fictional book going on at another time?
It's amazing to me how things that you read find their way into your sermons as illustrations or whatever. You'll find that. And then also, of course, the more you read, the more your vocabulary grows and the more your comprehension grows. And so it helps you be able to understand those theological books a lot better because you've strengthened your mind, so to speak.
Absolutely. Jeff, you want to add anything to that?
Well, I was thinking he was talking about the television. It just reminded me of what Groucho Marx said about the television. He said he found it to be very educational. Every time somebody turned a set on, he went in another room and read a book.
Well, that certainly makes sense. I don't watch a ton of television. We've got a couple of sitcoms that we watch occasionally. Usually if I'm watching television, though, it's a basketball game or football game or something like that. Most of the time I'm reading. I've just learned to replace a lot of that, television entertainment with reading. And it's amazing how much more fulfilling it is to read a novel than it is to watch a show I've seen 14 times.
You mentioned about setting a goal, Mark. Are you just setting a general goal that I want to read this many books, or are you identifying particular books that you want to read? Do you have a list of books that you would like to read and want to
I've
get to?
I've got sort of a list of books that I'd like to get to. I've got two or three right now that I've listened to a podcast and they mentioned a book, and I'm like, one of them is titled Unburdened. I'm like, I need to get that and read. And then, I'll hear of a book. Maybe you guys will post a book on your Goodreads and I'll say, I need to pick that up. So that's basically the way I decide what I want to read. But let me say another thing on the reading. I found that you can waste a lot of time scrolling through social media. So how about instead of scrolling through social media mindlessly, pick up a book and read a few pages?
Unfortunately, I think a lot of people are posting on social media mindlessly.
That's true.
And the big question about your reading, Mark, paper or plastic?
Listen, I have to have a book in my hand. I am old school that way. I'm sorry. I know you guys are big e-reader people, but I've got to have the book in my hand.
You know, Jeff, Mark is significantly older than we are.
He only looks younger than both of us, but he is older than both of us. That is correct.
Well, you know me. Absolutely. Me and Methuselah were personal friends.
Go ahead. Okay, so there are pastors out there who certainly have that mindset of, I just don't like to read. And if they read, I think they almost feel guilty sometimes reading something for their own entertainment. What do you have to say to those guys that struggle to read? How has it helped you? And what can you tell them about the good of reading an entertaining book every once in a while?
You know, you kind of mentioned a point there. Was one of the reasons that I struggled with reading was I just felt like when I was reading, I wasn't accomplishing anything. So like I had to be doing something physically to feel like that I was, you know, I didn't want to be a lazy preacher. You know, people talk about preachers all the time and I didn't want to do that. So I wanted to be doing something all the time. And I just felt like reading wasn't, you know, being active. And so I found though that by reading, it's so beneficial just because it opens your understanding. It opens your ability to be able to comprehend the scriptures better. It helps you to formulate your thoughts. And then, you know what? It's just relaxing sometimes. I encourage people to read.
You know, it's amazing how it will help you relate to people in your congregation too. The same little homeschool girl, her mother was telling me recently that she's got to read Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis next year, and she wasn't looking forward to it. And I told her mom, I said, you know, I need to read that. I wonder if she'd want to read it, you know, along with me. And we talk about it at church. And so she said, yeah, why don't you ask her? So I told her when she's got to read it next, I don't know when it is, a few weeks or months down the road, that we just read it at the same time and talk about it. So, you know, it's amazing how you can relate to people in your congregation. I just finished The Wizard of Oz. I know Jeff is just dying to read it. And it's amazing how different that it is from the movie. But that actually gave me not only something to talk about with young folks, but it may have even given me a sermon illustration at some point to talk about. So those things I found really benefit me more broadly than you would expect reading
those. I was talking about the book club earlier. Once I went to check with the public library, I found out that a couple of members of church are in that book club. And so when we was reading through one of the books, I was able to discuss a few of those things with them. So yeah, it gives you some opportunities to share. And I want to try to do that, read some books with some members of the church. And I also teach at a drug rehab center and there's a couple of books I want to read for them also. Like I want to pick up the Case for Christ and things like that to try to help some of them.
Have you read Robbie Gallagher's book, Recovered?
That's one of those books that I want to read, and I have not read it because I listened to that Replicate podcast. Mm-hmm. I guess.
Okay. Well, so when you're reading, Mark, do you mark in your books? Do you keep a notebook and write in a note? I mean, how do you record things or, you know, write your thoughts, as you're reading?
I mark in my books, but I don't really keep a log or anything like that. Of course, if they're library books, I don't mark in them. But if my own personal books that I purchased, I do mark in them for things that I want to mention. As a matter of fact, I quoted one of those. I made a quote today from one of those things that I marked that I read in that Understanding Church Discipline book by Jonathan Lehman. So anyway, I do mark in them and go back and reference them. But I'm not very organized. So if I find something I want to make note of later, I might write it down on a piece of scrap paper somewhere. And then hopefully I can find it later.
Hopefully right. I can find it later. You and Wendy have the exact same file.
I am definitely ADHD.
She's just
messy. Well, I may be that too.
So Man, I really appreciate you coming on here and talking to us about reading. I hope that your little journey from being essentially a non-reader to a reader helps some folks maybe give it another shot. I've continually told people, if you don't like to read, it's only because you haven't found the books that you like. And yeah, we don't all like the same books, but there are some books out there you will enjoy, and reading is good for your brain. And when you watch television, they do all the work for you. When you read a book, you have to have a brain that has an imagination and creates all the images in your own head. And there's a benefit.
Absolutely. I've often asked people, my daughter loves to read, and she has been a big reader her whole life. And so I have talked to her some about, you know, do you visualize? And she goes, I have an ongoing movie in my head as she watches or she reads the book. You know, she can see the characters, she can see the events, you know, and that's one of the benefits of reading is as you go along and do that.
Absolutely. Jeff, you got anything else for Mark?
No, I don't. I was thinking about asking, you know, who your favorite podcast personality was here on Just Jerry Live, but I'm not going to put you on the spot. Like
Jerry
that.
Is.
Boy, that's cheap. Mark, we appreciate you coming on, and we do certainly appreciate your story, and we do hope that some folks maybe will go out and pick up.
Well, I'm sure that they will just be, you know, your hits on your podcast will go up tremendously because they knew I was on the podcast, I'm sure.
You know, Mark, they can't go but one direction. So this is Just Jerry Live signing off with Todd Bryant and Jeff Short and Mark Campbell. We hope that you have an absolutely wonderful day.